Here on Gadget Lab, we dive deep into the tech universe, tackling questions like, is giving companies access to your genetic material a good idea? And are the latest phone releases really that different than the last ones? We want to help you make informed decisions about what is worth your attention. And here's something that is undeniably worth your time, a digital subscription to Wired. Lucky for you, we are giving Gadget Lab listeners an exclusive discount, 20% off an annual subscription to Wired. Just visit wired.com and use the promo code GL20 to get 20% off a digital subscription. Use GL20 to get exclusive access to stories on the latest innovations like AI, deepfakes, and VR, as well as today's most talked about people in technology.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
AI is making waves in every field it touches. President Biden is now on TikTok, and the election draws closer each day. With so much going on in the world, it is hard to keep up with it all, let me tell you. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal, the co-host of Make Me Smart. It's a podcast from Marketplace. And every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I break down the latest in business and the economy with short daily episodes to make it easy for you to stay in the know. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Lauren.
Mike.
Lauren, do you have gas?
Okay, we're close as podcast hosts. But we're not this close. We're not talking about gas. Are you talking about gas stoves?
I am indeed asking if you have a gas stove.
Yes, I do have a gas stove, and I also have a gas car, which I know. You're giving me that look, but sometimes I give you a ride to work.
So. All right. Well, that's not the type of gas that we're talking about. We're talking about natural gas.
Okay, fair enough. And what exactly are we talking about?
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever felt the pressure to get rid of your gas stove?
I have entertained the thoughts of it, but one, I am a renter, and two, I kind of like the gas stove.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in the same boat. Okay. Let's talk about it.
Yes, let's do this.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Gadget Lab. I am Michael Calori. I'm a senior editor at Wired.
And I'm Lauren Good. I'm a senior writer at Wired.
And we are also joined by Wired staff writer Amanda Hoover. Hello, Amanda.
Hi. Great to be here.
All right. Great to have you. If you're not up to speed on the latest culture war, well, I'll break it down for you. Everybody is mad about gas stoves.
They're fired up.
They are.
They're sizzling. It has sparked a conversation.
The conversation is getting hot.
Yes.
It turns out that using gas to heat your home and cook your oatmeal may not be the best thing for the health of the environment or the health of nearby humans. This is not new information, but a recent study about how gas stoves can cause asthma in children and release toxins into the air has sparked a fresh debate about these appliances. Amanda, you wrote a story for Wired about how this debate is heating up.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to fire whoever wrote this script. Before we get into the insane political angle surrounding the debate over gas stoves in the homes, what is the actual problem that people are talking about? Are gas stoves really that unhealthy?
There's been some research that shows that gas stoves are, like you said, bad for the environment and possibly bad for your health if you're living in a home with one. They release methane, which is a greenhouse gas. They release methane even when they aren't on. Some studies have shown that they're just constantly leaking this out into houses and then out into the environment. Additionally, where studies have shown that they could be dangerous to your health, there was a recent one in the end of last year that found that gas stoves could be responsible for almost 13% of cases of asthma in kids in the U.S. That's been a similar study in Australia in recent years. They found about 12.3% of childhood asthma cases might be attributed to gas stoves. Additionally, they release benzene, which is a known carcinogen. The thing that we don't know, really, this hasn't been looked at for direct health impacts over long periods of time. And an expert I spoke to said that would be a kind of study that could be really useful to track how living with a gas stove for many years could influence your health. Because right now, what they found is they've kind of targeted the chemicals that are coming out of gas stoves into your home and at what rates, and connecting those to what that actually means for your health for living with one. There's still a bit of a gap there, aside from these asthma studies that have recently come out.
Amanda, the studies you're referencing are mostly out of the U.S. You did mention Australia as well. I'm wondering how U.S.-centric is this conversation? Because we know people in less developed countries also suffer health issues from fire-based stoves and poor ventilation. But this seems like very specific to places where people have like the stove infrastructure, where they have gas stoves with natural gas.
The way that it came up last week definitely was, because it came up among U.S. politicians who started arguing kind of along party lines. Republicans really saw this as this could be overreach to tell people whether or not they could have gas stoves or not. You have environmentalists and some more liberal politicians kind of, you know, just pointing out the issues here. Right now, like, no one's trying to come in and take away everyone's gas stoves. And that's how the conversation kind of came across on Twitter. There have been, in certain liberal cities like San Francisco and Seattle and New York, there have been bans on certain like gas appliances in new constructions and attempts to make those electric. But the conversation seems to mostly be happening like in the U.S. recently.
So it wasn't just the report that, I'm going to keep using this word and I apologize, sparked. It wasn't just the report that sparked the debate. It was politicians who were getting involved in the conversation and people pointing out that in some cities there are some laws starting to come down that are banning new gas stoves.
Yeah, it started because the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, a commissioner from there, did an interview with Bloomberg saying that there was a hidden hazard in stoves. Anything would be on the table, including a ban, if products couldn't be made safe. The chair of that agency walked that back later. It was reported that President Joe Biden is not in favor of a ban on gas stoves, but the conversation had already sort of gone off the rails a little bit on Twitter and among also, like, there was segments on Fox News where people were talking about how much they love their gas stoves and didn't want them taken away. So it became this political issue when it hadn't really been framed quite in that way before.
Yeah, he had to use that word ban. A ban is on the table. Mm-hmm. And of course, in Washington, you know, language is super important, because if you even hint that something is possible, then that causes everybody to sort of spiral to the worst possible conclusion. So the thing that was most alarming to me in this report, which is something that I hadn't heard before, was that gas stoves leak toxic gases even when they're not in use. Can you tell us more about this?
Yeah, a researcher who has done multiple studies on gas stoves found that in particular they're leaking methane even when not used. That, you know, I think the emissions are higher when the stoves are on, but certain stoves that he went and looked at and measured them, he found that the methane was leaking potentially all the time.
And the advice is, of course, to use a fume hood over the stove to anytime you're using it, to turn on the hood that exhausts the gases and anything else coming out of the stove out of your home. But not everybody has fume hoods.
Yes. And some of them just blow the air back into your home, which I went and looked at mine after doing this reporting. And I realized that I could feel where the air was coming back right into my apartment directly above my stove. So that brings into question, you know, how helpful or useful they are. And of course, some people have their burners, you know, like out on an island counter, places where they don't have those hoods. I've seen kitchens like that as well. So not everyone has those. And there are a couple of potentially other things that you can do to lessen all of these chemicals hanging out in your home as you cook and after you cook. But getting an electric or an induction stove would lessen, you know, the risk even more.
So was there any discussion about other gas appliances in this research, things like water heaters, because most of us have, you know, gas-powered water heaters in our homes also?
Most of this really looked at stoves. As I was reporting this story, I did see, you know, some mention of that. The thing with those is that they aren't, like, directly in your kitchen where you're standing over them.
Yeah.
Breathing in and turning them on, you know, multiple times a day where you have your family members around.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back with more stove talk.
Hey everybody, it's Neil. I've got some huge news. Decoder is moving to Mondays and Thursdays. We're adding a second episode of the show. On Mondays, we'll have our classic interviews with CEOs and other troublemakers.
I think we're going to have to start having conversations about how do we pay those jobs that can't be done by AI.
And on Thursdays, we'll be explaining big topics in the news with Verge reporters, experts, and other friends of the show.
There's a new generation of people on the internet. Google search has always sucked for them. So, you know, there's no reason for them to be loyal. They can just go to TikTok.
This is going to be really fun. I'm very excited about all this. So go subscribe wherever you get your podcasts now.
All right, let's put the political debate about gas stoves on the back burner for a moment and talk about, I told you, I don't know who wrote the script if it wasn't me.
Oh my God.
Let's talk a little bit about what normal people like you and I can actually do about this. And the first thing we should clear up is, if you have a gas stove in your home right now, is the government going to force you to replace it? Amanda, please tell us.
Not right now. That is something I think that would be incredibly unpopular, and not even just for conservatives. Replacing your gas stove can be expensive. You know, it's something that people can consider if they, one, own the home, and two, have some, you know, potentially disposable income to make this change right now. Replacing an appliance that seems to work perfectly well, I think, doesn't appeal to many people. But the government is not coming for anyone's stoves, because even local bans that have happened have really focused on future construction. And on the flip side, there are some places that have passed laws that would prevent cities from implementing natural gas bans. So you have certain cities, you know, wanting to move to electric, and you have others that are not pushing in that direction.
And let's say that you wanted to replace your gas stove right now, not necessarily because your city is mandating it, just because you're a conscientious consumer. How much would that actually cost?
The ranges alone can, for an induction, can cost around like $1,100 to $4,000. They can get more expensive as well. Electric options can be a bit cheaper, around $500, $600 starting out, but they are a bit less efficient than the induction stove. So some of that cost, you know, you might incur in your bills over time. And that's just for the range. I believe there would also have to be, you know, the labor and the rewiring and resetting up your home for all of this, which could then vary as well.
Right.
So it's, you know, to get a nice induction range, which is what people like as a replacement to gas, because so many people like to cook with their gas stoves, it can be pretty pricey.
Yeah. And to be clear, like, you know, there are, like you said, there are regular electric ranges, which are sometimes called radiant electric. That's a new word that people are using to differentiate an electric stovetop from a cooktop that uses induction cooking, which is also electrical method, but uses non-radiant energy to heat whatever's on it. Also with an induction stove, you know, you have to make sure that your pans are compatible. So there are people who maybe use old cookware that, most cookware now is induction friendly, but if you have something that's like 10 or 15 years old, like your favorite casserole dish may not be usable on an induction cooktop. So you have to buy a new pan on top of that. Mm-hmm. So there are some additional costs associated with making the switch. That said, you could keep things cheap and just get a radiant stovetop, and those are, you know, as cheap as $500-$600 for a nice one. And they can also get a little bit more expensive than that. But I think that's probably more the starting cost.
And isn't a lot of our electricity not exactly coming from clean energy anyway? Like, a good percentage of our electricity is actually coal powered.
That's a good point.
I have to say, I had an electric stove when I was in grad school, which is an apartment I ended up staying in for several years. And it took like, I'm being mildly dramatic here, like an hour to make pasta. It just took so long to heat up a big vat of water.
Yeah. You know, I think the electric cooktops that most people have had experiences with are from like the previous generation of electric cooktops.
This definitely was.
Yeah. Probably something from the 80s or the 90s. And, you know, it has that coil.
Yes.
That,
and they're kind of unbalanced. They're uneven.
Yeah. You put something on it and it sort of lists.
Yes.
And it takes a while to heat up. But I can say that, you know, the new radiant heat cooktops, which usually have a glass panel, mm-hmm. and then the coil is beneath a glass panel, mm-hmm. so you don't have that listing effect.
Yeah. My mother has one of those.
Those are remarkably efficient. I'm not saying energy efficient. They're not as energy efficient as an induction cooktop, but
right, but they're cook efficient.
Yeah, they're much faster at boiling water, for example, to use your example.
Right, and you can presumably the pan is being heated up more evenly too.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are fancy. They're more expensive.
Would you ever switch? We've both established that we're renters, but would you ever switch to induction?
So I have a gas stove now that I love. The oven's not great, but the cooktop is fantastic. And it's definitely showing its age. It's getting kind of rusty. It's creaking a little bit. You know, I don't really feel like it's going to be safe that much longer. But I do rent. I have considered replacing it, but I know that if I ask my landlord to replace it, they're going to get like the cheapest thing on sale at Best Buy this week and toss it in there, and I'm not going to be happy with it. So I have considered like spending my own money on an induction cooktop just to swap out the one that is probably not safe anymore, and then just eating the cost, using it as long as I live in that place and then just leaving it there when I move.
That'd be very kind of you.
What about you, Amanda?
I rent as well. I have a gas stove. A couple of weeks ago, actually, they thought my gas stove was leaking carbon monoxide into my apartment
because
my detector kept going off.
It turned
out that it was the laundromat on the street level. So for a little while, it looked like I was going to get a new stove. They had said, you know, like the gas company came and they put a tag on my stove and they were like, this is deadly. It turned out that it was not going to immediately kill me, and it was actually the laundromat. But that was my adventure with my stove recently.
Big city living.
Yeah, and I guess you can't like ask your landlord to replace the laundromat.
No, it took them like 4 days to even, well, it took maybe about a week, but after it became a severe crisis, it took them days to even realize it was the laundromat.
Well, we're glad you're okay.
It happened at Christmas, so I was actually out of my house.
Oh.
And Amanda, are there any tax credits or rebates that people can look into if they are looking to replace their gas stoves right now?
Yes. So there are some rebates available under the Inflation Reduction Act for people who are looking to replace their cooking appliances with electric ones. These might range from up to $840 for new cooking appliances and maybe another $500 to help cover the costs of converting from natural gas to electric, because that's another thing to keep in mind that you have to do as well.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mike? Does that make it more palatable for you to pay for this, even though your landlord really should be paying for it?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, what I would really love to happen is to have a conversation with my landlord about what type of stove I would like and ask them to pay for it and then give them the rebate.
I have a feeling how my conversation with my landlord would go.
How would that go?
First of all, I'd have to catch her in between like the 17 podcasts that she's taping. And then I would ask her and she'd go, no. And that would be it. That'd be the end of it.
Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of people just don't want to give it up, right? Because cooking with gas is very convenient. It's as we said, it's fast. It also offers like a precision that you often can't get. Like when you turn the heat down, the heat actually turns down. It doesn't slowly go down over the next 5 or 6 minutes. Once you've used a stove that does that for you, it's hard to give it up.
What do you think it says about our current culture that gas stoves have hit the cultural zeitgeist?
Yeah, I think where this is, you know, kind of coming down is we've seen Republicans really oppose a lot of things in President Biden's agenda, including his support for electric vehicles. And to me, this kind of seems to fall along similar lines. You know, people enjoy using their gas stove. They don't want to be told how they should cook, and they don't want to be told how they should drive and what they should drive. So it seems to be a debate that is pretty similar to that. And it's just, it's another way to pick at this environmental agenda.
Well, I can't wait until the research paper comes out that says that Americans should stop eating so much meat. So we could start this all over again.
Wait, are you vegan?
No comment.
It comes up every podcast now.
Okay, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll do our recommendations.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Larson, the reviews director of Pitchfork. And this podcast is supported by Pitchfork Music Festival. Pitchfork Music Festival will take place July 19th through the 21st at Union Park in Chicago, Illinois. This year's lineup features Jamie XX, Alanis Morissette, Black Pumas, Carly Rae Jepsen, Brittany Howard, Jay Paul, Muna, Jessie Ware, 100 Gex, and many more.
The festival also features diverse vendors as well as a specialty record, poster, and craft fairs, and works to support local businesses while promoting the Chicago arts and food communities as a whole. For more information on tickets and lineup, visit pitchforkmusicfestival.com.
All right, this is the last part of the show where we all share our recommendations for things that our listeners might enjoy. Amanda, as our guest, you get to go first. What is your recommendation?
I have been unable to stop listening to this podcast, Normal Gossip. In it, the host and a guest just walk through this anonymous story that is a crazy thing that's happened to people that they don't know and we don't know. So you get kind of the thrill from gossiping without any of the guilt, because you almost definitely won't know any of these people. It's kind of funny because it's pretty specific, even with changed names. So if it was about you, you could probably tell. But it's very funny. They talk a lot about the ethics of gossip and the history of gossip as well. So it's been very interesting.
That's awesome. And what's it called?
Normal Gossip.
Normal Gossip.
What's one of the more memorable stories you've heard?
They're so like intricate and complicated that I could not possibly tell it in less than a half an hour, which is what they do. But there are people who have spats over what is the best type of yarn to be using and how that unravels. There's been crazy like bridesmaid stories and drama and pettiness. So there's something in there for everybody who, you know, wants the thrill of gossiping without any of the guilt.
I love it.
That sounds perfect. Lauren, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation this week is something that's being gently reused from another podcast we taped. I'm recommending that if you have new health and fitness goals this year, because it is January, it is time for such things, don't buy a year-long gym membership. There are so many options out there now where you can like dip your toe in, you can buy a handful of classes somewhere. I just signed up for a new gym in San Francisco, where I was able to spend less than $100 and get 15 passes to try it. And this place has like a pool and basketball courts and things that I wasn't getting from my other gym. So I'm going to give it a try, but it's no commitment. If you sign up for a year-long gym membership, you often have to pay an activation fee. You might have to pay a cancellation fee when you discover that you're not using it. And let's be honest, sometimes our adherence to our New Year's goals is a little bit low. Like we fall off by March or so. There's also things like ClassPass now, where you can just dip your toe into different classes around your neighborhood and try things out before you make a firm commitment. So that's my recommendation this week, is not to go like all in, just dip your toe in, try different things. The year is still new. You don't have to make any big decisions just yet.
So get the 5-class yoga pass instead of the 20-class yoga pass.
Yeah, absolutely. And do it while your flex spending and your health savings accounts are still flush. That's nice. My recommendation.
Nice.
Yeah. How about you, Mike?
I'm going to recommend an audiobook. You have to bear with me. So it's The Dharma Bums by Jack Kerouac, the novel from 1958, as read by Ethan Hawke.
I love it already.
Yeah. So I know this is like very duty, but I was a big Jack Kerouac fan when I was a young man. And then I gave him up for a really long time just because there are other things out there to be obsessed with. And I haven't read The Dharma Bums since like legitimately my early 20s. So I'm revisiting it now a full lifetime later. And the writing is fantastic. It's a really great book. You know, I don't know why I ever left this guy behind, but it's the audiobook, which is like, I think the only audiobook available that's read by Ethan Hawke, is just fantastic. Like, I really hope that Ethan Hawke won a Grammy for this, because it's really good. He gets way into it and he really brings out the best in the writing, and he brings out all the different sort of character voices. Not in an annoying way, but in a very tastefully performed way. So yeah, regardless of how you feel about Jack Kerouac and regardless of how you feel about Ethan Hawke, I would recommend giving it a shot. It's a really great way to re-experience something that I'd forgotten I actually liked.
I would listen more for the Ethan Hawke than the Jack Kerouac.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. But just hearing him read the prose, I was like, wow, that is some good writing. really got into it. I'm still, you know, almost done with it. I think I have an hour left. It's like a 7-hour audiobook. So yeah, it's a good one.
What are you using to listen to it?
Libby.
Audible. Oh, Libby.
Libby.
Right.
Yeah.
Which you've recommended on this podcast before.
Yep. The free audiobook app that ties into your library card. So if you don't have a library card, get one and then get Libby.
Are we like in Brooklyn right now? You're talking about like the library, Ethan Hawke, going vegan.
Induction cooking.
Induction cooking.
No.
I love it.
I think you mean San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
These are all of our San Francisco values.
I watched Glass Onion this week, finally. Loved the cameo by Ethan Hawke. Was a little bit disappointed that he didn't show up more. But he's the guy who meets them at the dock and shoots the anti-COVID thing into their throats.
Yep.
That was hilarious. The whole thing was hilarious.
Yep.
And then he just disappears.
That was good.
That was great.
Okay, well, that is our show for this week. Thank you, Amanda, for being on the show and telling us all about cooking with gas.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
It's been a gas.
Oh, no. It's been an inductive loop. And thank you all for listening. If you have feedback, you can find all of us on Twitter. Just check the show notes. Our producer is Boone Ashworth, and we will be back next week. Until then, goodbye. Want a new podcast to look forward to each week? One that's entertaining, informative, and packed with actionable content? Come on, of course you do. Introducing The Jordan Harbinger Show. The Jordan Harbinger Show, which Apple named one of its best of 2018, is aimed at making you a better informed, more critical thinker so you can get a sense of how the world actually works and come to your own conclusions about what's happening, even inside your own brain. Jordan dives into the minds of fascinating people, from athletes, authors, and scientists, to mobsters, spies, and hostage negotiators. Search for The Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R, B as in boy, I, N as in Nancy, G-E-R, in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now.